This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show. And here is Mark Helm.
Recently, I saw an article in Inside Self Storage that said self-storage manager accused of embezzling $53,000 from XYZ facility. Let's talk a minute about how to put procedures and structures in place that may prevent slippage at your self-storage facility. My name is Mark Helm, and I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the on-demand training that I offer, both free and paid for. There's classes in there such as how to build your first self-storage facility or how to buy your first self-storage facility. You can find out more about the products and the training I offer at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. But you'll see it in articles about owners who have lost money due to theft. I can remember I bought a facility, a rather large facility, about 10 years ago, and the owner was reporting that he was making $70,000 to $73,000 a month in income, and we negotiated a cap rate. We ended up putting it under contract, and when I went through the due diligence period, I was wondering, you know, why is he only making so little? I'm calculating $85,000 to $86,000. We went on and bought it first month we owned it, before we even instituted our management upgrades, which actually raised the money quite a bit. We were getting $86,000. Shortly after that, I learned that he had filed charges, prosecuted, and his former bookkeeper was now in jail. So let me share with you my thoughts. Most people are good people, and I've seen otherwise really good people resort to some not so good behavior when their back's up against the wall, when addictions take place in their life. Very few people wake up in the morning, in my opinion, thinking, who can I go rip off today? But what my experience is, when something changes in someone's life and their back's up against the wall and they feel they're out of options, they will resort to behavior that they would not otherwise resort to. Even good people can sometimes break bad. So if you have employees or other people other than you taking payments, especially cash and checks, it's good to have structures in place that can help incentivize people not to break bad at your facility. Now, I'm not an expert at loss prevention, but here are some ideas that I have and that we use to help prevent loss and slippage at some of our facilities. A lot of this I learned from reading articles and from my CPAs. One, always do a background search and a criminal background search on people you hire. Now, I'm surprised how many people don't do that. The story I just told about on the facility we bought, had that guy done a background check, they would have seen that this bookkeeper that they had been at least charged with embezzlement before. So if you have someone else taking payments at a facility, limit the amount of activity they can do on the financial reporting side. So what I mean is, for example, in our case, we would have managers taking payments at the desk very often, cash, check, cards. And each day we close out, and each day that manager fills a deposit ticket out, drops it in a safe that only I or another partner had a key to, then we would come in and take the checks and the deposits out of the safe a couple times a week, and then we would compare them with the activity in the computer on the daily close, and we would be the ones entering the numbers into QuickBooks. In an ideal situation, the person taking the payments would not close out, and the person who closed out would not make the deposits and enter into QuickBooks. But we did have the managers take the money and do the closeout. Then even when all the deposits and everything matches up, still once, twice a week, I would question the manager on a particular transaction, want to get a few more details on something on one of the daily closes. And I did this more to let them know that we were looking at every single day's close. The third thing I recommend is we lock out in our operating system the manager's ability to waive fees. The only one that can waive fees are the owners. So if the manager's leasing a unit out, there is some discretion on what they can charge, but they can't waive fees. If they want to waive a fee, they've got to call one of the owners, and the owners will go in the operating system and waive the fees. In most operating systems, as you set them up, you can, you know, lock certain people out from certain type of activities, and waiving fees is one of them. So managers do not have the ability to waive fees. Four, more and more owners are not taking checks or cash, period, especially if you're doing remote management. That cuts down on a lot of the shenanigans. However, in most of our facilities, we still do take checks and cash. Five, periodically, and when I mean periodically, I mean at least once a month, I or one of the owners will show up at a facility and we will do print off that day, that moment, a lock inspection report, and we go out and do a lock inspection report. And we're looking to make sure that there's no rented units that aren't in the operating system. And that if somebody's overlocked, there is a lock on their unit. And it also lets us know how well the managers just keep up with making sure this stuff gets entered correctly into the facility. Six, we also have cameras in the office. I don't want to be one to spies on my employees, but I have cameras in the office, and if something's not right, if I'm, you know, checking the books and something doesn't appear to be right, I can go back to the camera and look and see what happened at that time or that day. It also lets the employees know that any type of mischief or not so good Breaking Bad type of behavior is going to be recorded. And finally, something I recommend is, as an owner, you run your facility sometimes. Run it. Go open it up, run it, meet the customers, especially at the first or the end of the month. I remember one day I was running a facility and a customer came in, said, I need to get in my unit, and I pulled his stuff up and I pulled his record up, and he was overlocked. He owed quite a bit of money. I said, no problem, just pay your bill. He said, no, you don't understand, I just need to get in my unit and get some tools for a job. I said, I understand, pay your bill. He said, no, and he pulled the 20 out, and he said, the manager unlocks the unit for me for $20 and lets me get my tools out when I need to go to work. That was interesting information as an owner. Wouldn't you want to know if that was going on at your facility? So that manager wasn't employed there the next day, but we didn't let him get his tools that day. Now, these are just some of the practices and procedures we have in place to keep pilferage down. Now, we've never had a lot of theft. You know, maybe we've had some that I don't know about, but we check the books regularly. We're the ones entering it, and we've been fortunate not to have good employees. We do background checks, and we haven't had a lot of theft. We've had some mischief, like I just talked about, but overall we feel very lucky. But a lot of it is because we have procedures in place, and the employees witness it consistently that we have those procedures in place and that we're watching the numbers, the books, and the transactions. So those are just some of the things that we have in place. I'd be real curious what you might have in place that we haven't talked about on this episode that you utilize that helps you keep your theft down. Don't be scared to hire people. Do your research on having the right people there, but don't let fear stop you from getting in or growing your business. Or if you have a big facility, taking cash or checks, just have procedures in place. Remember, self-storage can be cash machines in many cases. We as owners just want to make sure that the cash gets funneled into the right place and not into the pockets of someone breaking bad who happens to be working for you. So thanks a lot. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Storage World Analyzer, which is the financial analysis tool that we use to analyze self-storage opportunities. You can find out more about it at Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage. Click the Storage World Analyzer tab, or feel free to go straight to storageworldanalyzer.com. So thank you very much, and I look forward to being with you next week.